So we're going to start 12 lines up on the bottom of Ted Vavam and Bet. Here the Gemara is discussing the layout of the Beit Hamokid. The reason they're discussing this is because where they had to bring the Telef from. They're talking about how the Kohen approached the Mizbeach and where he was entering from. The Gemara assumes that he's entering from the south side, which is the front of the Mizbeach, and therefore he would bump into the corners in the order, moving to the right. He would hit the northeastern corner first, which is where he'd want to put the dam. The Gemara says, well, why is that the case? Because we know that he had to go get the tlef for the tamid on the northern side of the Mizbeach. Because in the Beit HaMokid, which was on the northern side, there are four lishkot within that Beit HaMokid. Two of them in the Kodesh, two of them in the Chol. Meaning that it's a wide area, bigger than the wall or the thickness of the wall. So two of the lishkot sit outside of the Azara, and two of them sit inside the Azara, or have Kedushat Azara. Here we have Tanan Hotam. Amar le Memune, tzu veviu tzleh milishkat Beit HaTzleim. Go get a tzleh from the lishkat Beit HaTzleim, which is where they kept the checked animals to use for the Korban HaTamid. V'alo lishkat HaTzleim haita b'miktsoa tzvonit maravit. Wasn't the lishkat HaTzleim in the northwestern side? Because v'arba lishkot hayusham. There were four lishkot in that area. Now this is from the Mishnah and Tamid. Achat lishkat tlaim, v'achat lishkat achotamot. You have the lishkat tlaim, which is where they kept the behemot that were getting ready to be used, or checked to be used for the korban tamid. You have lishkat achotamot, which we discussed in shkalim, which are the petecs, the little receipts that you got or you purchased in order to get your nisachim. V'achat lishkat beit hamokid. One of them is the lishkat beit hamokid itself, which is either where the kohanim stayed or where they kept the wood for the fire, for the pyre there. V'achat lishkat shosim ba lechem hapanim. And then one of them is the area where you make the lechem hapanim, which is the bakery or the location for preparing the lechem hapanim every Erev Shabbat to be put on the Shulchan. That's your layout, with the assumption being that the Lishkat HaTzleim is in the northwestern side of this Lishka, and Lishkat Beit HaMokid itself is on the northern side of the Mikdash. So if that's the case, then you are starting from the north. Why are you saying that the Kohen is going to bump into the Mizbeach starting from the southern side, which is the face of the Mizbeach, which is the ramp of the Mizbeach? But nevertheless, he's coming from the north first anyway. That's one. Now the Gemara moves on to a separate issue, which is Reminu. That layout of the Beit HaMokid is actually a stira on Mishnayot. This is actually, we dealt with this in Kodashim, and the Gemara here raises the issue again, and it will only be solved in tomorrow's daf. The question is being raised now. We're going to do a lot of digressions from here, looking at different issues, and then come back to it in tomorrow's daf for the solution to that problem. And that is Reminu. The Gemara here raises an issue. Arba lishkot hayu lebeit hamokid. They were four lishkot, four chambers inside of this Beit HaMokid. Kikituniot abtuchot lechaklin. They are like smaller rooms that open up into the palace. These are antechambers that go into the palace. Shtayim bekodesh v'shtayim bechol. Two in the kodesh, two in the chol. V'rashay pispisim mabdilin ben kodesh lechol. And there are these protrusions of sorts that separate between the kodesh and the chol. Whether it came out of the wall, whether it was on the ground itself, but there was an indication, basically, of where the wall would have gone. Had the wall gone through the middle of this, they give you an indication that because whatever is to the right of that, to the north of that, is in the Chol, and whatever is to the south of that, to the left of that, is in the Kodesh. Mayu Mishamshot. What are the chambers that were there? So Marvit Dromit. So you're talking about the southwestern. Is Haita Lishkat Tlei HaKarban, which is the checking of the Korban. So we already know we have a problem, because before we said it was the northwestern corner here. So we know that these two Mishnayot have a problem. They're not in sync, and we have to deal with them. And that's, again, tomorrow's daf, not today's daf, we'll deal with that. Then we had Dromit Mizrachit, which is the southeastern one. Is Lishkat Shayusim Ba'lechem Apanim. Had to make Lechem Apanim, also not the same as what we saw in the previous one. Mizrachit Tzvonit, the northeastern one, is Ganzu Beit Hashmonai Abnei Mizbeach Sheshiktum Machei Ovdei Kochavim. And we saw this in Masechet Shkalim as well, when the Greeks came in and they took over the area of the Mikdash. They destroyed the Mikdash. They knocked holes inside of the Soreg, which is the indication of the area where non-Jews were not allowed to trespass in there. They knocked the holes in them, and they also ruined parts of the Mizbeach. So afterwards, when they came and cleaned it up, they took the stuff they had to put in Geniza, and they put into this location. This chamber was the Geniza for all those Avnei Mizbeach, things that were Kodesh, that were ruined by the Yevanim. And then the last one, Sforvinit Maravit, The northwestern chamber is Yordim Ba'al Beit HaTefilah. It was an exit or a way to get down below to go to the mikveh, because this is where the Kohanim stayed. If a Kohen, for whatever reason, was then Tuma Mikre Laila, so instead of going into the Mikdash, he would leave the Mikdash. He would descend down into the Makom HaTefilah, as well as the fact that there was a bathroom down there. That was the place that they kept everything, because Mechilot Lo Nitkadshu. Tunnels were not Kodesh. So this was access to the underground tunnel network of the Har HaBayit, which had all of these things in it. Access, tefillah, and the bathrooms, all the things that the Kohanim needed, and allowed them to utilize them without having problems of Tumah. It's not only is it shifted, number one, which is that they're off in terms of where they're located, but they're also different. So that we have to reconcile. Again, tomorrow's daf, we will deal with that. Now, Amar Rav Huna, Mantano Midot. Who is the author of Masechet Midot? The Gemara says, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. It must be Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Did not. We have a Mishnah. And now the Gemara is going to bring series of Mishnayot from Masechet Midot. It's mixes and matches the pieces of Mishnayot they bring through, but they're trying to paint you a picture that proves that it is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And that is, number one, Ezrat Nashim. The Mikdash sits on Har HaBayit, faced from east to west. On the easternmost side, you have the Shar of the Ezrat Nashim, which allows you to enter into the Ezrat Nashim. There is a Stira in the Mishnayot, as well within the Rishonim, as to what the name of that Shar was, whether that was Shar Shushana Birah. Shar Shushana Birah, according to the Mishnayot, is either the eastern gate to Har HaBayit, or the eastern gate to the Mikdash. And again, the Rishonim and the Mishnayot are unclear about that. They, in some places, say that it is the eastern gate to Har HaBayit, in some places say it's the eastern gate to the Mikdash. That entrance enters into the Ezrat Nashim, which is the easternmost area, entering in towards the Mikdash itself. That Hayta Orech 135, Arocha 135. It is a square area, 135 by 135 amot. Now the Mikdash itself is always 135 wide, so the Ezrat Nashim is also 135 wide, but also happens to be 135 long, because this area is squared out. But Arba'al Lishkot Hayu, and there were four chambers there in the corners of the Ezrat Nashim. There are four chambers there, Bedal Mikzota, in the four corners. Mayu Mishamshot, what was the purpose of these? Dromit Mizrachit, so the southeastern one was, Hayta Lishkat HaNizirim. That's right as you walk in on the left side. That's a Lishkat HaNizirim. Shisham Nizirim Evashlim Et Shalmehen. Umegachim Se'aran Mushachin Tachad Adud. So here, the Nizirim have a requirement when they come on their last day, when they finish up their Nizirut, is that first of all, they have to cut their hair, they have to shave their hair off. That hair has to be utilized to cook the Shlamim Shalmei Nazir. So the Shalmei Nazir that is brought includes this part that they have to cook it there and put their hair underneath it. So there is this lishka for the Nizirim that are cooking their shlamim, and they are able to then shave their hair off there and then place it under to cook the shlamim in that location. Mizrachit Tzvonit, the northeastern one, which is on the right side as you walk in. Hi Aita Lishkat Dir Haitzim. That was the lishka for the wood. It was the woodhouse. Shasham Kohanim Balei Mumim. So Kohanim who could not otherwise serve in the Mikdash because they were Balei Mumim. Omdim Umatlin Beitzim. There they stand there and they check the wood to make sure it hasn't rotted, it doesn't have worms in it. Kleit Shesh Botolat Pasul Gabei HaMizbeach. If wood is rotted or has worms in it, it's no good for the Mizbeach. So those Kohanim sit there to check the wood. Tzvonit Maravit, the northwestern one. So that's as you enter in the right side on the far end. So that Hi Aita Lishkat HaMitzorayin. That was Lishka for the Mitzorayin. Because the Mitzorayin also, they had to bring certain carbonate. But on top of that, they also had to do their process of Tahara right by the Shar Nikanor. They had to stand there and put their thumbs in and their feet in and their ear, but they have to get exactly what the Kohen needs to do for them in the Shar Nikanor. So that was their staging ground for doing all the things they needed to bring and to get ready for their Tahara. Marvit Dromit, so on the left side, on the far end, Amar Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, Shechachti Ma'ita Mishameshet. I forgot what it was for. Now, the Gemara, what does the Gemara see from this is that he's the author of the Mishnah. Because he's saying, I forgot what it was, implying that he was the one giving the description until this point in time. So here the Gemara says, it must be that Rav Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of Midot, because he's the one who's speaking Stam. And then he says, I don't know what this one was. Abba Sholomer, Bayinotnim Yayin V'Shemen. That was the store area for the wine and the oil. V'hi'aitani kreit lishkat Beit Shmanaya. It was called the, in the Aramaic, the lishka, the chamber of Beit Shmanaya, which is the shemen of the oil, where they housed or they stored the oil. So, Achinami Mistavra. Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov piece. Now the Gemara brings a second proof to the fact that the author of the Mishnayot and Midot is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. So the first one is this idea that he speaks as if he's the one being giving the description before this point by the Ezrat Nashim. Now there's a second one that's not. So this is an issue with regards to the Azara. In terms of the Azara, we're going to get to in a couple of minutes the dimensions of the Azara. Right here, the Gemara is talking about the height or the grade of the Mikdash. The mountain itself has a grade to it. So there is a natural grade. If you're starting from the east going towards the west, there's a natural grade on the mountain that would take it higher. Even after Herod filled it in and made it a flat plateau, which is what you see today, the Har HaBayit, the flat plateau, nevertheless, they graded the Bayit so that when you start on the eastern side and move toward the west, you get higher and higher. So that the Kodesh and the Kodesh HaKodeshim stood on the highest location as you entered from the east. And as you moved through different areas through the Mikdash, you were rising. They had to rise through stairs. They used stairs and they made the Mikdash rise. So it says, Kol HaKotalim Sheyusham Hayu Gvoim. All the walls in the Mikdash were very high. Chutz Mikota Mizrachi. Except for the eastern side. Now this is the eastern side of Har HaBayit. Shakoin Serifat Apara Omeid Bahar HaMishcha. Because the Kohen that is doing the Serifat Apara Duma is standing on Har HaZeitin. And when he's saying on Har HaZeitin, he was he's able to see the entranceway to the Eichal. Bishat Hazat Adam. By the time that he sprinkles the seven sprinklings of Dam that have to go towards the Eichal, he has to be able to see the entranceway to the Eichal. But how do we accomplish that? V'tanan. Kol ha'ptachim shayusham govan rimama v'ruchbam eser amot. All the doorways, all the gateways in the Mikdash were 20 high, 10 wide. 10 amot wide, 20 amot high. There is one exception to that, and that's the Petach HaUlam. Petach HaUlam was double. It was 20 wide and 40 high. These are excerpts from the Mishnayot. The Mishnah is stated in a way which gives you, this is the rule, and here's the exception to the rule. So the rule is that all the doorways were 10 amot wide by 20 amot high. An exception to that rule was the Ulam, which is 20 amot wide and 40 amot high. The same thing with the walls. All the walls were high, except the wall above the eastern gate, of Har HaBayit. On the eastern gate of Har HaBayit, there was no wall above it. Basically, it was a 20 amot high gateway, and there was a very thin layer on top, which was the mashkof, which was the lintel. Ritznan. And now another part of this Mishnah, which is, Lifnim imenu sureg. Ritznan. Lifnim imenu achel eser amot. Here's a description of Har HaBayit. Again, the Mishnah is just picking up in the middle. We're not going to necessarily deal with it. All you need to know now is the next line, which is, Ushtemisre Malota Yusham. And there were 12 stairs there. There is another Mishnah, or part of that Mishnah, which is that all stairs in the Mikdash were a half an amah up and a half an amah inward, in depth. So every stair was a half amah up and a half an amah in depth. And that was the standard stair in the Mikdash. There's an exception. The exception are the stairs that go up to the Petach Ulam, which we'll get to in a little bit. But otherwise, in terms of height, they were all moving up half an amah. So now what it says is the cheo, which is the area inside of the sereg. If you remember, the sereg was that lattice work that surrounded the Mikdash, which was the last point until which non-Jews were allowed to enter. After that point, you have the cheo. So the cheo extends, the floor of the cheo is 10 amot. And then there were 12 malot. There are 12 stairs that take you up from the cheo to the Ezrat HaNashim. So Rom Maleh Chatzi Amah, Shulcha Chatzi Amah. Each stair was half an Amah up and half an Amah in depth. So that means that you're going to get up, you're going to climb six Amot. The floor of the Ezrat Nashim is six Amot higher than the floor of Har HaBayit or the floor of the Chel. Tet Vav Ma'alot. Then, again, we're skipping around a little bit. There are 15 stairs that move from the Ezrat Nashim to the Ezrat Israel. That's where the Levim, they send this 15 Shir HaMalot that are found in Tehillim. Can I get these 15 stairs that rise from the Ezrat Nashim to the Ezrat Israel? So therefore, Tevav Mavalot Olot Mitocha, Ayodot Mezrat Yisrael Ezrat Nashim, Ro Malach Chatzi Amah, Shulcha Chatzi Amah. Again, the stairs are a half Amah up, half Amah in depth. That means if you have 15 of these stairs, you have 7.5 Amot higher. The Ezrat Israel is higher than the Ezrat Nashim. So far you've climbed 7.5 amot plus the 6 amot originally, you're up 13.5 amot. By the time you get to Ezrat Yisrael, then you are from the floor of Har HaBayit. V'etnan. And again, ben ulam la mizbeach, between the ulam and the mizbeach. So the mizbeach, which sits in front of the ulam, there's 22 amot there. U'shtemisre ma'alot ayusham. There are 12 stairs there. Now these stairs are not standard stairs because Rom Malech Chatzi Amah, they climb a half an Amah, Vishulcha, And the extension or the depth is an amah. I shouldn't say chatzi amah here, I should say amah. Then the way that it's built up is actually the Mishnah says, "12 malot ayusham, ro maleh chatzi amah v'shucha amah," which is what we have quoted here. Then the remainder is amah amah v'roved shalosh, amah amah v'roved shalosh, well, you're not amah amah v'roved arba. So there are actually four series here of stairs. So there it tells you the way that the stairs worked over here was that it went up a chatzi amah. And then depth, one amah. Up a chatzi amah, depth, one amah. Up a chatzi amah, three amot in depth. They had three series of those. And then a final series by which there was up a chatzi amah, in an amah, up a chatzi amah, in an amah, up a chatzi amah, in four amot, which is the final one of these. So you have four of these series, again, of three stairs. Four times three is the 12 stairs that we're discussing here. The stairs, again, climb half an amah. So that's another six amot. So if I take the 13 and a half plus the six, I'm 19 and a half amot high. Then Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov says that there was actually another grade within the floor of the Azara. So here, if you just take what we have from the Mishnayot without Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, then you would have it be that there's from the base from Har Abayit to the point where you hit the Ulam is 19 and a half amot high. This will be significant in a second. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov comes along and says, wait, there's an addition to that, which is, it's not Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, Male Hayita Sham. Now, Malei Hayita Sham is between the Ezrat Yisrael and the Ezrat Kohanim. Ezrat Yisrael is 11 amot in depth, 135 wide by 11 amot deep. And then there's Ezrat Kohanim, which is also another 11 amot deep into the Azara, 135 amot wide. He says between the Ezrat Yisrael and the Ezrat Kohanim, there is actually a grade difference. And that is, Malei Hayita Sham, there was this step up, Gvoa Amah, it was one amah high, the duchen notan alea. And that was where the duchen, for which the Levim stood on in order to do the shira, at the time of the korbanot, possibly for the kohanim to do birkat kohanim, but this is the duchan. Ubo shlosh malot, and on top of this duchan, there are three stairs, shel chatzi chatzi amah, that are chatzi amah up, chatzi amah in, chatzi amah up. So if you take that, that means that I have an additional one amah for the duchen, plus the three stairs is another three stairs at chatzi amah is one and a half amot, is another two and a half amot. If I add that together, then in total, for Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, you have the height of the ulam, floor of the ulam is 22 amot above the height or the floor of the Har Habayit. Climb 22 amot. Rashi here says 20 and a half, which is not the correct calculation. So now, Iyamart bishlama Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov hi, if I understand that this is Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, hainu d'ichse le pitcha. That's why the doorway was a problem. Now, let's understand this. I have it here pictorially so you can understand this. Which is that, remember, the Kohen is standing on Har HaZeitim. Standing on Har HaZeitim looking, and he needs to see the Petach HaEichal. Petach HaEichal is looking through all these doorways. The doorway on Har HaBayit over here, which is the lowest point on Har HaBayit. The doorway, the Shara Mizrach, Shashar Shushan on Har HaBayit, is 20 amot tall. So if the doorway is 20 amot tall, and the floor of the ulam is 22 amot above the floor of the Har HaBayit, there's no way you could look through the doorway here and see the floor of the ulam. The only way to do that is to look above the doorway. So now, if you are looking through the doorway in Shar Mizrach, you're never going to succeed at this. So what do? You would look from above that doorway. If you look above that doorway, then you can actually see through that doorway, through the doorway into the Ezrat Nashim, through the doorway into the Azara, all the way to the base. Look, basically the base of the Heichal. Because you'll see through the Ulam and then into here. So that's what the Mishnah said, that on top of the Eastern Gate, they didn't put any wall on top of it. Had they put a wall on top of it, it would have blocked your ability to see above that gate through the other gateways there. If you put a Tuamah header on top of this gateway, it would have blocked your whole view. Because, remember, the floor of the Ulam is 22 Amot up. If you already do that, you're going to lose your ability to see the bottom of the Ulam. So there's no top to this Sha'ar in order to allow you that visibility to look straight across all the way till here. That is Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov's opinion, and that's what the Mishnah Midot said. The Mishnah Midot said all the gateways had a wall on top of it, except for that on the side of Har HaBayit. That is number one. So that's why we know that's Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, because if it was the Rabbanan, Yamar it's Rabbanan, if it's the Rabbanan who argue on Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, Ha'ika palga da'amto, d'mikhazelei pitcha b'gavei, because otherwise you have an extra half amah to deal with. If you remember, before we had Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, who had the 2.5 amot here in the middle of the Ezrat Yisrael and the Kohanim, the Rabbanon don't have that. So according to the Rabbanon, we said before, the height of the base of the Ulam is only 19.5 amot. Well, 19.5 amot means you have an extra half amot to look through the eastern gate of Har Abayi, which is 20 amot high, and the grade brings you up 19.5. That means that there's a half an amah that you could look through that gateway on the eastern side and still see the floor, or the base of the Petah HaHeichal, because it's 19.5 off the ground, and you have a gateway that's 20 amot high. So I have an extra half amah at the top of that gateway that you can look through. So here, if you look here, according to the Chachamim, you could actually look through the gateway on the eastern side of Har Abayit, look through the gateway, all the way through to the Petah HaHeichal. And once you do that, you would not need to lower the wall on the eastern side, because you don't need to look above the gate on the eastern side of Har Abayit. You're looking through the gate on the eastern side. So the fact that the Mishnah in Midot tells us that the wall on the eastern side of Har Abayit, or the gateway, did not have a wall above it, shows you that it's using Rabbi Elezer ben Yaakov's measurements that the floor of the Heichal was 22 amot off the floor of Har Abayit, and not the Rabbanan's calculation, which is that it's 19.5 amot off the floor of Har Abayit. So that's the second proof that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of the Mishnayot and Midot, and that's what the Gemara says, Lav Shmamina, Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, it must be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Gemara's statement. Now the Gemara's going to challenge that and say, maybe not, because Ravada Barav Amar, Hamani. No, you know who the author of the Mishnah Midot could be and still have this problem, which is that you're unable to see through the doorway? That could be Rabbi Yehuda. It could be Rabbi Yehuda. The Tanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, HaMizbeach Mimutza VeOmeid BeEmtza Azara. The Mizbeach was centered in the Azara. U'shlashim u'shtayim amot hayulo. It was 32 amot, and therefore, Eser amot keneged pitcho shel Eichal. There are 10 amot that are directly opposite the entranceway to the Eichal. Remember, the petach of the Eichal is 10 amot wide. And then if you take 32 minus 10, you're left with 22. If I divide it evenly, Yudah falamah letzafon, and Yudah falamah letdarom. 11 amot and Mizbeach go to the northern side, and 11 amot go to the southern side. Nimtza, Mizbeach mikuvan, keneged Eichal v'koldav. That means the Mizbeach is sitting dead center. So now, once you do that, the Mizbeach is sitting dead center. The Mizbeach's height is 10 amot high. 9 amot in the center. The Karnot give you the 10 amot. So it's 9 amot high. We already know that the grade of Har Abayit, even according to the Chachamim, by the time you get up to over here, on the floor over here, you are up already 6 plus 7.5 to 13.5. You add 9 amot on top of that of the Mizbeach, there's no way you're gonna see into the Petach HaEichal, because you're blocking the view of the entrance through the Shaar HaMizrach. So what Rabbi Adar Bar Abba suggests over here is that it doesn't have to be Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. Even according to the Chachamim, you could have a problem here seeing through that gateway if you subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda's position that the Mizbeach sat dead center. The Mizbeach says dead center, the Mizbeach's gonna block your view, and you won't be able to look through the doorway and see. Well, you're gonna have to look above to get above the Mizbeach at this point in time. So the only way to do that is to go above the eastern wall of Har Abayit. You couldn't look through the petach of Har Abayit on the eastern side, because the Mizbeach would block your view to get there. So that's the reason that it wouldn't work. But that assumes that the Mizbeach is centered along the Azara. That is not so simple, and that's what's going to be the discussion of the Gemara here, whether the Mizbeach was really centered in the Azara. So the Azara itself, again, is 135 amot wide. We're talking about the Mizbeach itself, not the Kevesh, not the ramp. The Mizbeach itself is 32 by 32. Yehuda says it's centered down the middle, right in the middle of the Eichal, blocking basically the door of the Eichal, if you're looking from the eastern side of the gate entering in. So that's maybe Yehuda's position. That would be a way to solve our problem. The only problem with that is that there happens to be another Mishnah in Midot, which is, V'isakadatcha Midot Rabbi Yehuda. If you think Rabbi Yehuda is the author of Masechet Midot, which is now the alternative that Rav Adar Rav is suggesting, then Mizbeach v'emtza Azara, the Mizbeach can never sit in the center of the Azara. V'hatnan. Because when we discuss the Azara, we have here in the Mishnah Midot, it lays out for you the dimensions of the Azara and how the things were laid out in the Azara itself. Which is that the Azara lengthwise is 187 amot, and widthwise is 135 amot. So here, Kol Azarayta Orech 187, Arocha 135. It is 187 long, 135 wide, similar to Ezrat Nashim, 135 wide, meaning everything is 135 wide all the way through. Min haMizrach leMa'arav, going from east to west, which is the length of the Azara. Me'a u'shmonim v'sheva, that is the 187. Makom Drishat Regalei Yisrael, The Ezrat Yisrael is 11 amot. Then you have Yud Aleph Amah Makom Drusat Raglei Kohanim. Another 11 amot, which is the Makom where the Kohanim went. Now again, that's where Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov said it was a grade up, which was it jumped 2.5 amot between the Drusat Yisrael and the Drusat Kohanim. The Rabbanan think that is flat, and that there was some indication there that separated between them that gave notice of that, but it wasn't a grade that took it up higher. Then the Mizbeach itself, which is 32 is 32 amot. We just said before the Mizbeach is 32 amot squared. So now I have 11, 11, then 32 amot. Ben Ulam the Mizbeach, we also mentioned before about the staircase that took you up into the Ulam, that between the Mizbeach and the Ulam was 22 amot. So if you do that, that's a Sri Mushtaim. That's another 22. So now I have 22, because 11 plus 11 is 22, plus 22 on the other side. That's 44. The Mizbeach itself is 32. We're up to 76. Then the Heichal itself is 100 amot. So that's 176. V'yudof amah achorei beit hakaporet. And behind the Kodesh HaKodeshim, behind the Heichal, there was another 11 amot to the back wall of the Azara. That gets you 187. That's information that's not, in terms of our question here, is not relevant. But that gives you the length dimensions of the Azara. What's important to us is the width dimensions of the Azara. Okay, Minat Arom Litzafon. So now we want to know the width of the Azara, south to north. The Mishnah here gives you a big problem because it's going to give you most of the dimensions, but leave out pieces. And because of that, we have major machloket about exactly what the Azara looked like when it was laid out. So here it has to be much more difficult because of this problem, which is that if you look here, if we have the layout of the Azara, start here, that it's 135 amot wide. Hakevesh v'amizbeach. So you already know we have a problem. The Gemara starts from the ramp of the Mizbeach. The ramp and the Mizbeach is on the southern side. If we're counting from the southern side, what the Mishnah already skipped was how much room is between the southern wall and the ramp itself. Obviously, the ramp doesn't sit adjacent to the wall because then it'd be hard to get onto the ramp. So there's obviously some space there. The Mishnah skips it. Come back and later in the Mishnah and tell you that. So now the Kevish v'amizbeach. The ramp and the Mizbeach itself is 62 amot. Right? We know the Mizbeach itself is 32 amot. The Kevish itself is also a little longer than that. It's probably about 32 amot. There, the Gemara deals with the fact that the Kevish overlaps with the Mizbeach, the Sovev and the Yisod HaMizbeach. The Gemara discusses why it's 62 and not the full length of the Kevesh plus the Mizbeach. Again, part of it has to do with the fact that the Kevesh is a ramp, and so it's the hypotenuse. So you have to look at the really at the base. The other thing is that it sits over the Mizbeach itself to amot. Because of that, Kevesh and Mizbeach together take up 62 amot of floor space of the Azara. Min haMizbeach ulaTabaot, from the space between the Mizbeach to the Tabaot. The Tabaot are the area where they shechted the Karbanot. The Tabaot were there to help them to lock the animals in place when they were shechting them. That is Eit Amot. Makom HaTabaot, the placement of the Tabaot themselves, is Esrim V'Arba, 24 Amot. How they were laid out is also Machloket there, whether they're laid out 6x4 or 4x6. But the Tabaot take up 24 Amot of floor space, going from south to west. Then we have Min HaTabaot LeShulchanot. From the Tabaot to the Shulchanot, to the tables on which they put the innards, and they washed them off on the Shulchanot, right? That's where they opened it up, and they put the innards. Arba, that is for Amot. Then they have Arba min haShulchanot leNenasim. From the Shulchanot to the Nasim are these poles that had hooks on them, triangular in nature, it seems like. They have somewhat triangular, circular in nature, on which they were able to hang the animals to flay them on, these Nasim. Arba, that takes up 4 amot. Min haNasim laKotel, from those Nasim to the Kotel is 8 amot. V'amotar. And the leftover, the extra space that we have left over is Ben HaKevesh laKotel. It's the space between the ramp of the Mizbeach and the southern wall. Umakom haNasim, and the placement of the Nanasim themselves. So now what the Mishnah did deal for you so far is they gave you dimensions that add up to. We have 62 of the Mizbeach and the Kevesh. We have 8 amot for the space between the Mizbeach and the Tabaot. So that's already 70 amot. The Tabaot themselves are 24 amot. That's 94 amot. Then we have 4 amot from the Tabaot to the Shulchanot. That's 98. Then you have from the Shulchanot to the Nanasim is 4 amot, which is 102. Then you have the 8 amot from the Nanasim to the wall is 110. So you have 110. And now you have 135. So you're short 25 amot. How you split that 25 amot now is a major machloket because what Yechiel just said. The Mishnah does something interesting, which is, it gives you the dimensions of everything, but it mentions to you, what was the space between the Tabaot and the Shulchanot, and the space from the Shulchanot and Anasim. What it never gives you is the dimensions that the Shulchanot take up themselves. That's absent from the Mishnah. So you have different options to deal with that. One option is to allocate them space. If you do that, then the 25 amot we thought were left over are less than 25 amot. That's number one. Number two is, or if you don't allocate them space, and you say, when it says, Minya Shulchanot and Anasim, that the Shulchanot and Anasim are actually adjacent to each other. And that's why it says, Shulchanot and Anasim includes the space of the Shulchanot. Then the full 25 amot belong to that extra space, and the Shulchanot don't take up any extra space. That's number one. So you first have to figure that piece out, which is, are we going to allocate space to the Shulchanot, or we're not going to allocate space to the Shulchanot? Number two is, once I have that excess space, whether it's 21 amot, if I allocate 4 amot to the Shulchanot, or it's 25 amot if I do not allocate space to the Shulchanot, how do I divide that between the Nanasim and the space between the ramp and the wall, the southern wall? So the most obvious would be to split it in half and say half and half. That would indicate if it's the excess of 25, that means there would be 12 and a half amot for the Nanasim and 12 and a half amot between the southern wall and the Mizbeach. The other possibility is that you gave 4 amot to the Shulchanot. That means there's only 21 amot left over. So when 21 amot divided in half, that'd be 10 and a half amot to the Nanasim, 10 and a half amot to the side by the space to the Mizbeach. So that would leave you 10 and a half amot before you got to the Kevish HaMizbeach. So already here, you already see that we have two possibilities of opinions as to how it lays out. Rashi himself here brings three opinions. He brings two of his own opinions plus his Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yehuda opinions about what the layout looked like. And then you have the Rabbeinu Hanano as a shita here, and you have the shita of the Rambam. All of these have different layouts of how it looked. At least two of them, Rashi and Shita Bet and the Rambam, looked similar because even though they get there in a different way, they end up with 12 and a half amot being on the side between the wall, the southern wall, and the ramp of the Mizbeach. That's number one. There's the opinion of Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, Rashi's Rebbe, who says you put 12 amot between the wall and Kevish. And then there's the Rabbeinu Hanano, who says the Nanasim should be 4 amot like everything else was in that Mishnah. And that means that there's 17 amot left on the side between the wall and the Kevish. I have it laid out. I can send all of this out to you. You can see the layout. But let's now work with this. Once you've done that, we know that the Mizbeach and the Kevish together are 62 amot. Where's the halfway point on the Azara? Is 135 divided in half. 135 divided in half is 67 and a half amot. So if you want to center the Mizbeach on there, you would have to have 67 and a half amot. You would have to have only, of the 32 amot on the Mizbeach, you'd only have to have 16 amot that go towards the southern side, plus the ramp. So if you take that, again, the 16 amot plus the ramp, let's call the ramp 30 amot here, that would be 46 amot. That the ramp and the Mizbeach till the halfway point can only take up 46 amot. So I take 67 and a half minus 46 amot, that would leave you with a residual of 21 and a half amot. Nobody has 21 and a half amot between the southern wall and the beginning of the ramp of the Mizbeach. That means by for sure, the Mizbeach is not centered, it's skewed to the southern side. The Mizbeach is skewed to the southern side, and that's exactly what the Gemara concludes here. You can't find the Mizbeach in the middle. The majority of the Mizbeach is in the southern side. You must conclude the Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov, he Shema Minah. The Rebbe Elazar ben Yaakov is the author of the Mishnayot in Midot. Now, how that works, depending on what your opinion is here with regards to the layout, will tell you how far to the south the Mizbeach is sitting. Now, it's important how far to the south the Mizbeach is sitting, because remember, the Kohen Gadol, when he's looking, has to be able to see the base of the entrance to the Eichal. The Mizbeach could block his view if the Mizbeach is not situated properly. So depending how far north the Mizbeach is, that could prevent your ability to see through to the Petach Eichal. And that's what creates some of the problem here. Tosafot discusses this, which is that truthfully, even if the Mizbeach was all the way in the Tzafon, was all the way in the north, you could still accomplish this. And that's what the Tosafot asks. He asks, why didn't the Gemara bring down the possibility? It's not Rabbi Yehuda, it's maybe Rabbi Yosu, who says the Mizbeach is entirely in the Tzafon. And that is because the Mizbeach is not flat. The Mizbeach is not 32 amot squared out flat. The Mizbeach is, at the top, is only 28 by 28 amot on the top. That's because you have the Soveiv that goes around it, which is an Amah, and then you have the Yisod, which is also an Amah. So the base by the Yisod is 32 by 32, the Sovev is 30 by 30, and the top is 28 by 28. Because of that, there are two Amot on the side where you don't have the full height of the Mizbeach. There's one Amah of the Yisod and one Amah of the Sovev. Those are lower down. And therefore, you could, as Tosfos points out, even if the Mizbeach is all the way to north, you could have it be that you could still see through to the Petach Eichal because you have those two Amot on the side that go down. Tosfos also discusses about the ramp itself, that the ramp does not decline fast enough to give you the view past the Mizbeach. And that's why Tosfot says you can't use this sheet that it's all the way to the north. Even though it would give you the ability to see, the ramp itself does not decline at a fast enough pace to give you the visibility that you need to get through on the, would be there on the southern side of the Mizbeach because of that decline. And so for that reason, Tosfot asks, why can't that be the Shita that is there instead of Rabbi Yehuda? Because Rabbi Yehuda says it's in the middle, but even if you say it's all the way to the north, those Shitot also have the Petach Eichal blocked. And therefore, they could be also a suggestion of a position. But he says in the end, because Rabbi Yehuda makes a statement clearly that the Mizbeach is Mimutzah, and it's not an inference or we get it out of another statement of his, therefore, the Gemara just brings that because that's the easiest way to discuss it. Whatever is true of Rabbi Yehuda is also true of any other opinion that you would bring, that the Mizbeach is B'tzafon, because the Mishnah and the Midot say that the Mizbeach is skewed to the southern side. So it can't be someone who says it's in the middle, it can't be someone who says it's always to the north, it has to be someone who says it's skewed to the south side. And that is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. And that's why he is the author of the Mishnayot here. So it's so too over here. When you talk about the Mizbeach being to the southern side, how far it skews to the southern side has to do with what you think the layout is of the floor of the Azara, the floor plan of the Azara. What was the layout? That would tell you how far the skew is to the southern side. Now, you only have to get skewed to the southern side enough that allows you a vision into the Heichal. So what we know is the furthest north it could be, the furthest north it could be is the Petach HaHeichal. Petach HaHeichal is 10 Amot wide. It has 5 Amot that go into the northern side. So on the northern side, the maximum the Mizbeach can go to the northern side is 5 Amot. Because otherwise you would block the vision or the ability to see past the Mizbeach into the Petach HaHeichal, because the Mizbeach itself would be too high and would block your visibility to go through. Now why it can be adjacent to the northern side of the Petach HaHeichal is again for the same reason, which is that you have the Yisod and the Sovev, which give you a view on the northern side that pass the Mizbeach. If you did that, if you push it all the way to the north, as far north as possible, then that would mean that it's 5 Amot over the halfway line. 62 Amot is how much it takes up. To take 62 minus 5, that's 57 Amot. And we said before that the halfway line is 67 and a half. Right, so if you did that, you take 67 and a half minus the 57, you would end up with 10 and a half. So 10 and a half is the Shita Rashi brings, the first Shita that Rashi brings in order to deal with this. The Shita Bet and Rashi and then the Rambam and all these have a larger space, which skews the Mizbeach over to the northern side further, to the northern side. And so because of that, they're going to have to deal with this issue of visibility of how you saw through the Mizbeach. Now, according to the Shita of Rashi, as well as the Rambam, that the Mizbeach and the Kevesh were 12 and a half Amot away from the wall. That means that they split the difference between the Nanasim and the space between the southern wall and the Kevesh, because they assign no additional space to the Shulchanot. It will turn out now that you have a big problem with that setup, because, as Rashi notes, the Mizbeach now will be skewed 74 and a half Amot away from the southern wall. That's 12 and a half Amot from the wall to the Kevesh. The Mizbeach and the Kevesh itself are 62 Amot. 62 plus 12 and a half is 74 and a half. We know that the halfway point of the Azara is 67 and a half. That means you have an additional 7 Amot that extend over beyond the halfway point of the Azara. Now yes, Robo is in the Darom, but that 7 Amot mean that you've already covered the Amah of the Sovev and the Amah of the Yisod before you hit into the area that is the Petach HaHeichal. If that's the case, then the Mizbeach will clearly block the doorway to the Heichal. And that's probably what prompted the Shita of Rashi's Rebbe, Rabbeinu Yitzchak Bar Yehuda, to say it was 12 Amot. So if you drop that half Amah, then you give yourself a half Amah when you have visibility through to the Petach HaHeichal. Similar to the Shita in Rashi that says that it's only 10 and a half Amot off the wall, the one that is favored by Tosafot as well, which is then you have the Amah Yisod and the Amah Yisovev facing the Petach HaHeichal. They give you a perspective or ability to see into the Petach HaHeichal. Now, both Rashi and Tosafot challenge their Shitot here because we know from later on in the Masechta that Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov believes that Kulei Mizbeach B'Darom, the entire Mizbeach, is in the south. If that's the case, how can he be the author of the Mishnayot and Midot, which say that Rubei, that the robe was in the Darom? So Rashi shows that you can't create a way to put the Mishnayot and Midot, to put only 5.5 amot between the wall and the Kevesh, and then you'll come up with the Shita of Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov. But in the end, he says, Ein Hochanami, that Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov is not the author of the position here in Midot. But it's clear it's also not Rabbi Yehuda. And then Rashi goes on to give a totally different explanation for the Sugya, suggesting that Adarav's question about Rabbi Yehuda is not about him being the author of the Mishnah in Midot, but rather the Mishnah in Tamid, where the Stam Mishnah in Tamid says the Mizbech is Mimutza. And let's say that that is Rabbi Yehuda, because we see that Rabbi Yehuda is the Baal Plukta on Masechet Midot based on his position with regards to the Mizbeach. And then the last line of the Gemara that says Shema Mino, it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, Rashi eliminates from the Gemara entirely. Tosfot takes issue with that explanation and says, first of all, why are you erasing the Gemara? And number two is, the Gemara is not set up in a way that seems to suggest that the question about from Rabbi Adar Bahava by Rabbi Yehuda is about Tamid. It's about Masechet Midot, not into Masechet Tamid. Lastly, Tosafot says, well then, how do we fit Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov into the Gemara here? He says that we only know 3 shitot in the Tanaim. We know one shita is Kulei B'Tzafon, that the entire Mizbech is in the north. We have another shita that's Mimutza, which we know is Rabbi Yehuda. We have a third shita, which is Kulei B'Darom, which was Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov. The Mishnah in Midot creates this new concept that possibly that it's Rubei B'Darom. Tosafot says, well, we can explain that Mishnah according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and force it to be Kulei B'Darom and only put 5.5 amot between the wall and the Kevesh. And if you do that, he says, now we can maintain it that it's only a 3-way machloket. And that's what Tosafot says in the end. The Gemara here concludes that it's Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov and keep it as a 3-way machloket. Not introduce a new Tana that says Rov B'Darom, but rather, the author of position in Midot is Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, and it's Kulei B'Darom. And that'll be the conclusion of the Gemara in order not to create or foster a fourth opinion that is over here. The hardest shita is that of Rabbeinu Chanana, which is found here, that says there were 17 amot between the wall and the ramp. And once you do that, the Mizbeach is basically running across the Petach HaEichal, and it'll be very difficult for this individual to see into the HaEichal based on that shita, because remember, the floor of the Azara has already climbed 16 amot, according to Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, by the placement of the Mizbeach. And then if you put a Mizbeach that is 9 amot high, you know, without the Kranot on top of that, you're up to already 25 amot high off the grade of Har HaBayit. And that means that that's going to block the doorway to the Ezrat Nashim, and there's no way that the Kohen Gadol could look through unless he was looking above the Shar Mizrach of Har HaBayit and above the Shar Mizrach of the Ezrat Nashim, and then possibly looking through the Shar Nikanor. It would be very difficult, and that's why the Rabbeinu Chananel Shita is not so simple. Okay, we'll stop here.